those clever engineers.
But no.
Time for ASO Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is, of course, NZ17, bringing you episode 104 of ASO Radio. And joining me in the studio once again is...
JD10T.
And we've got a great show in store for you. Lots of exciting anime news, better than just the general, oh, this is slightly interesting stuff. Actual quality, meaty anime news. And we also have a review of what we're reviewing this time.
Last Exile?
That's right. Okay. Last Exile by Studio Gonzo. And if you know my past history with how I feel about Studio Gonzo films, well, this is going to be not too different from that. But I'm getting ahead of myself. After all, I could mention the Hotspot has a wonderful interview with the creator of Schlock Mercenary. But like I said, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So let's take care of some anime news. Okay, so like I promised, we have some really cool news this week, and some not so cool news. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, we're going to go ahead and let JD10T take the first one. Go ahead, JD10T.
Okay, Natsuki Takaya in Germany. German publisher Carlsen Manga reports that Fruit Basket's creator Natsuki Takaya will attend the
Leipzig World Book Fair.
The fair runs March 22nd to the 25th of next year.
Okay, and for you old school anime fans, and I know you're out there, Adult Swim will air the original Voltron series Monday through Thursday at 5:30 a.m. starting next week. That's right, it's going to start about the 16th of November. The show will also be available on the Adult Swim Fix website, which I believe is just at adultswim.com.
Okay, Sprint brings anime to cell phones. The Anime Network and Spring are now offering mobile anime clips to Sprint Power Vision subscribers. Clips from Meizo, King's Journey, Difference Eve.
No, Kino's Journey and Divergence Eve.
Divergence Eve. Wannabe Style and Mega Man are available on Sprint TV Channel 66 for $4.95 per month.
You know, if it's only $4.95 for all those different things, then it's a monthly thing. That's not a bad deal, really.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Viz Europe has picked up Honey and Clover. Yes, that's right. Viz Media BV has acquired the rights to the Honey and Clover manga series in Europe. So,
I really like those series. I'm excited.
You know, as a matter of fact, there's a really great series by Clamp called Holic, which is actually intertwined with their Tsubasa series. No, it's actually just pronounced Holic because the triple X part at the beginning isn't like triple X, like, you know, flashing neon sign triple X, but it means a variable. Each of the stories deal with somebody who's addicted to something, so alcoholics and other things like that. And so each one deals with the stories of these different characters. But the interesting thing about Tsubasa and Holic is apparently Clamp is using these as kind of the stories that intertwine all of their other series and
stories.
Yes,
they do. They introduce a lot of characters from different series. It's really interesting. I really like Tsubasa a lot.
Yes, and it's funny because the Holic series, which is basically about a witch who can grant somebody their wish, but in exchange they have to provide service to her equal to the amount of work that it takes to grant
usually
this wish.
Usually giving them an item or something the most important to them.
Right, right. It's funny because the series is really, you know, serious and kind of dark and stylish, and one of the early references is actually to Sakura of Cardcaptor Sakura. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Okay, go ahead and take this one about Phoenix Anime Fest.
Okay, Ultra Jump editor Kosuke Okazaki. Okay, yeah. Will attend Phoenix Anime Fest, December 1st to the 2nd in Phoenix, and he will join Blame, creator Tsutomu Nihei?
I believe it's Tsutomu Nihei.
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
But can't guarantee that. But we have some listeners who listen in, and they correct us on our Japanese, so maybe we'll get a help if we
I'm
going to
need a lot of
today.
Corrections. I need a couple of seconds to read the word first.
Well, for those fans of Oh My Goddess, I have some unfortunate, or depending on how you feel about it, fortunate news. Media Blasters has confirmed that it has passed on its option to acquire the rights to Ah Megami-sama, Sorezora no Tsubasa, which is the second season of the Oh My Goddess TV series. Now, some people like everything Oh My Goddess, and some people seem to not care much for this television series. What do you think of it, JD Tenti?
I really like, I have watched all the series with the anime and stuff, and I really do like it. I like the characters.
No, I meant the television series in comparison to the earlier OAV and the manga and the movie.
The actual, like, the TV series, I've seen them all, but I don't know which ones are which. It's been a while.
It basically, the artwork is very different looking
than
the
artwork.
TV series. It's kind
of
like their eyes are too far spaced apart or something.
I don't remember. I think I like the, if I'm remembering correctly, I think I like the series better than the movie.
Yeah, because there's the 5-episode OAV,
okay,
and then there's the movie, and then there is the 26-episode TV series.
Oh, I haven't seen the 26-episode TV
series.
Yeah,
that's what this is actually about. Oh,
okay, because I have seen, like, the 6-episode or the 4-episode series.
Yeah, the 5-episode OVA.
Is it 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
But moving along, how about you take this one about Death Note?
Okay, Death Note, the last name, topped the Japanese box office last weekend, pushing Kisarazu Cat Eye World Series and Flags of Our Fathers to second and third place. Meanwhile, Toho's Nada So-So fell to seventh place after 5 weeks in the top three.
And Grave of the Fireflies is going to be playing on Turner Classic Movies. TCM will be airing the English dub of Grave of the Fireflies, classic work, Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on, of course, TCM, Turner Classic Movies. And go ahead and I really like Ramna, so I would take this, but I want you to have the honors of taking perhaps our final story about Ramna One Half.
Okay, so Ranma One-Half wraps up next week. Volume 36 of Ranma One-Half manga will be released next Tuesday. The series has been a staple of the Viz Media catalog for over 14 years, according to the company, and remains one of the company's longest-running manga titles and one of the longest-running manga series in North America.
Yeah.
That is a really long series. I've been hoping to see the light.
Yeah, it's I actually got to see a fan translation of the last two or three volumes of it, basically the last story arc of Ramna One Half, years before this actually. And the interesting part is that the translator, and by the way, the ending of the series, at first I was kind of expecting more, but the more that I thought about the ending, the more I thought that was a good way to end it. But as far as the man who translated it did this fan translation, the interesting part is he did a really good translation, people really liked it, and then he went to an anime convention where he met one of the guys from Viz Media, and after that he felt kind of bad because even though they hadn't released that volume yet, on the other hand, he still kind of felt like by having it out there he was taking away from their future sales, and so he took down the translation. But the story doesn't end there, actually, because just about a month later, the same guy that he had met at that party called him up and hired him to be an official translator for Viz. So it would be particularly interesting if this translation was actually handled by him. I don't know if that's actually the case, but that would be pretty neat.
That would
so.
Be.
Well, anyways, that's going to do it for our news for this episode of ASO Radio. And so instead, we're going to now transition over to our review of Last Exile Volume 1. Well, Last Exile Volume 1. This had four volumes on it. Four episodes on it, on this first volume. And we actually only managed to watch two. And there's a very good reason for that. It was very boring. JD Tenti, could you go and give us a brief overview of the premise and story of this show?
I'll try. I was mostly laughing and chatting with someone else through it, but
possibly Cat 13.
Yeah, Cat 13. Anyway, what seemed to be going on was these two, they seemed to be in their early teenage years, Claus and
Klaus and Lavi.
They do errands, it looks like, mm-hmm. To earn a living. And it's kind of like involved in a race. Like, they pick up an errand and they go and do it and get back and see who finishes it off first. And it's one of those shows that takes a lot of place in the air, it seems like. A lot of airships and things like that.
Floating continents.
Yes. And so they go on this one message, and it's to deliver a message to some head honcho on a ship.
It seems to be an admiral of sorts,
yeah.
And they have to go and deliver this message, and they have two different messages. One is from his wife, and one is from his daughter.
And they're not able... he gets the first message from the wife, but the one from his daughter doesn't get delivered, and so he ends up hacking into the system to read it over the intercom, and, you know, all this battling's going on, and they're right in the middle of it, and they're trying to get out of there so they don't die. And
this, of course, upsets the guards, and so they come barging into the room. But thankfully, the kind soldier earlier who had gone and lent them a canteen when they were so amazed by the clean water fountain, because it's very hard to get clean water for them, especially considering how poor they are and how war-torn their countries are, and the fact that it's basically just these two orphans, it seems, living off of the meager earnings they can make delivering messages and running other tasks. And so they end up delivering the message from the daughter, which is asking for her father to return home safely and mentioning all the wonderful things in her life and how much she misses him and all. Which really, I think, covers the first two episodes.
Yeah, that was really basically it. It was...
The majority of it was taken up by fighting.
Exactly. I mean, the two main characters, you probably only saw them a half to a third of the time. The rest of it was just a bunch of clouds blowing up or airships on fire or something like that.
Yes, and the clouds weren't going and just being shot and having holes in the clouds. No, it was splashing up like water or something, like they were naval battles. It was actually quite silly.
Yeah, and they're like, we're sinking.
Yeah. They don't just suddenly fall out of the sky or nothing. No, they're sinking slowly. And, of course, there's this being a Studio Gonzo project, there was just tons and tons of computer graphics in this. I mean, by far, 3D computer graphics integrated into 2D cel-shadedness to try to fit in with the flat anime characters was really very prominent.
I really did like the animation, actually. I just really liked the way it was drawn, and... That was interesting. It was really slow moving at first. Not so much slow moving, just as not. It didn't catch you or anything.
The story or the animation?
The story. Sorry. Switching here. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed to have pretty good voice acting all in all, but since most of it was like chanting by the soldiers or commanders bellowing either orders or their disbelief in things happening. It's really kind of hard to say whether anybody did a good job or not, because there wasn't really much acting needed.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of redundancy. I was laughing about that, because the one character kept shouting orders, and another character would repeat the entire order, and they did it every time he said something, so I thought they could cut the episode in half if they just took that out.
Yeah, I guess the best way to really summarize this series is lots of fluff, but no real substance underneath. Kind of like the very subject of them being in the clouds.
It might have gotten better later on, but these first two episodes definitely, I just didn't cut it.
it didn't really cut the mustard. I mean, it seemed like the two main characters, they were very likable, but there was nobody else really that I felt was worthwhile in the staff except maybe the guy that helped them.
Yeah.
And so...
And even he was kind of an odd character going against the rest of his crew, you know, his teammates. Not that he didn't... What he didn't do was moral, but it was kind of...
Yeah, he probably
got odd out of
to,
there
like,
in the middle
be
of nowhere.
Royalty or something like
yeah.
that, I wager.
It just all of a sudden appears, and, I mean, it's just kind of weird, but...
Yeah, so, all in all, not the greatest. I was thinking about what to go and give this as far as score is concerned, and I think that I'm going to give this a not recommended. I mean, it's not absolutely horrible tripe, but I was just incredibly bored by this and did not feel engaged, and I had to force myself to go through two episodes, and that's pretty bad when you don't even... really like getting through the first episode, and we just skipped right past the opening and closing because those weren't really catching either. So
mm-mm, not at all.
What about you, JD Tenji?
I would give this a not recommended either. I agree that it didn't seem like it was that bad of a series. I mean, it wasn't painful to watch like I have watched others.
But it wasn't really good enough to say like neutral, you know,
exactly.
Like you could go either way. This is kind of like they'd have to do a lot of work to make
exactly.
up.
I mean. It could possibly... I mean, I really did like the two main characters. They just weren't in it, though, and it was just really... Like I said, not... It didn't catch my attention enough. I mean, maybe if I was really bored one day, I'd sit there and turn it on and try to finish the series, but definitely not something I'd go and do on my own time.
Yeah, this isn't something Cartoon Network should consider picking up for their Adult Swim section. But, okay, we're going to go ahead now, and there's no real... Well, actually, there is a little bit of fan mail... I don't have it with me, though, but just cover that real quick is basically Warp Shadow wrote in, and he said that he really likes the two new co-hosts that we have, Cat13 and JD10T, and he says that I should give them a chance to come into their full because he's sure that they'll be great co-hosts.
What's his name again?
Warp Shadow.
Thank you, Warp Shadow. You're so nice. I really like you.
Unlike me, I'm a big jerk. But now we're going to go ahead now and we're going to do our hotspot. For the hotspot this episode, we have our interview from Anime Banzai 2005 with Howard Taylor. For those of you that's not familiar, Howard Taylor is the author of Schlock Mercenary, a very popular online webcomic, which has been going for quite a few years now and actually is Howard's full-time professional career. And so we're going to go ahead and play that. Funny thing is, though, he wasn't actually an quote-unquote official guest of honor for Anime Banzai, but he ended up going to Link 1986's panel on webcomics. And so he ended up giving a really great talk there, and we ended up talking with him later, gave a copy of his book about Schlock Mercenary with selected strips in there to Link 1986, and we asked him if he wanted to do an interview with us, and he agreed. So here's the interview that he gave with us at our table in the dealer's room. I hope you all enjoy. Okay, here we are down in the dealer's room of Anime Banzai, and we are having an interview with one of the lovely guests here at the convention, or rather, he's a guest of ours. Go ahead and introduce yourself and your work and tell us a bit about your history.
My name's Howard Taylor, and I'm a professional cartoonist. I'm actually just here at Anime Banzai as an attendee because my daughter wanted to come to an anime convention. So I wasn't planning on doing a radio interview. I said professional cartoonist. Schlock Mercenary is my title and my work.
You can plug the URL if you'd like.
www.schlockmercenary.com. That's schlockmercenary.com. I've been cartooning now for 6 years, 2 years full-time, and loving every minute of it.
So I know that you have at least one book published. Tell us a little bit about the book that you've published and what to expect in the future.
Okay. The first book contains all of the strips that aired between March 9th of 2003 and I think August 23rd of 2003. I'd have to look inside the cover in order to see it. The second book, which is coming out here in about 3 weeks, is a direct follow-up to the first book, so the two of them The two of them will be a matched set. And I would encourage everybody to go to store.schlockmercenary.com where they can pre-order those books in time for Christmas.
An excellent present, especially if you have a large family. So go ahead. You've mentioned that your cartoon strip or comic strip. Is it all comic-y or is there some drama in there? What is the plot, if you will?
The plot, if you will, or even if you won't, is space mercenaries who are paid money to hurt people and break things. They get into trouble. They get out of trouble. They get paid. They get stiffed. Just like real life. I get email all the time from people saying, "Boy, you totally described my boss in this particular comic." I get email from soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan telling me, "You totally described my commanding officer." I've gotten emails before telling me, "It's obvious that you were a Marine. Where did you serve?" And the answer
That's
is,
pretty
I've,
cool.
I've never served in a military. In the military, I've just, you know, learned to watch people and figured out what they do when they're bored.
Ah.
The military life has been described as 60 seconds of panic surrounded with 6 weeks of boredom. And Schlock Mercenary talks about what happens during a lot of the boring slots. And these mercenaries get into trouble without ever needing to go on the job. Now, that said, there's plenty of blam and thum and pazorch and, you know, other shooty and hurdy and whatever sound effects. You know, there is action in the strip. For the most part, though, it focuses on the funny. Mm-hmm. Every strip, you know, sets up a punchline, delivers a punchline. You know, you tune in every day to laugh, and hopefully that's what happens.
So you said you've been doing this for 6 years now. How many strips have you produced in your estimate?
Oh, wow. 6 years. I started June 12th of 2000. I've been cartooning nonstop ever since. I've never missed a daily update. So today is October 21st. You listeners at home, you 2006. You listeners at home should be able to do the math for yourselves. Off the top of my head, I think it's 2,320 strips.
That's quite a workful.
It's a pile.
After so many comics, how do you keep things fresh? I mean, do you find yourself sitting there and trying to take more time to think a plot? Or at this point, have you built up so much that just plot flows?
I am a firm believer in character-driven fiction, character-driven comedy. The characters have acquired voices of their own. I refer to them from time to time as the voices in my head. Sometimes I will sit down to write comics, and the comics just write themselves. I give Captain Tagon or Sergeant Schlock the opening line in a panel. You know, they're delivering expository dialogue, and the rest of the strip just flows as the characters start talking to each other in my head, and all I need to do is take dictation. So,
all right. So,
for a moment.
Looks like we got some cackling fangirls. But, okay.
Cackling fangirls, one of whom is a boy dressed as a girl.
Well, it still counts when you're at the convention.
Welcome to Anime Banzai.
So, speaking of Anime Banzai, well, what are some of the events that you've attended so far that you've enjoyed?
Well, I just returned from a webcomics panel in which we talked about the, you know, care and feeding of webcomics. Last night, I went to a How to Draw Mecha panel hosted by Newton Ewell, who is one of the finest technical artists, I know of. He's brilliant. Worked for Palladium Games, Rifts Atlantis. When this guy draws a giant killer robot,
you can believe that death is at your door.
Yeah, you can believe that there is a giant killer robot at your door. I also attended the How to Draw Faces and Angles panel hosted by Amy, whose name tag Reader Hadley. She's right here in front of us.
She's one of our guests. Interview.
Yeah, one of our guests of honor. Amy's panel. Amy is very dynamic to
watch. Oh, she's fantastic. You know, she's a great artist, and so I just wish that we could get an interview with her.
What was amusing to me? She's standing. Oh, get right over here and accept the. It's not really praise. Watching her as she had taken pictures of herself, and seeing the photos of her face, and then seeing the line art that she was creating for expression. You can tell that one of the reasons she is successful at drawing faces is because she's very expressive. She is just fun to watch. When
and
she's excited or enthusiastic about something.
And smart. No, I'm just kidding. But that's true. She
big eyes, little eyes, angry eyes, big laugh. Right now she's looking puzzled.
Well, that's why she's a published professional.
Anyway, it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'm just here attending panels and having a good time. They've got some great guests.
We have some great guests, and we're interviewing a lot of them today, including ourselves. Hey, how you doing there? Not us. but all right. So, when it comes to your comic, your work, do you find influence in others' work, or is it mainly just stuff you've been thinking about, or is it a melding?
In terms of story, I find most of my inspiration in the literary science fiction and fantasy that I read. And in, factual military tomes, that I research, scientific research.
So
that
it's
I
kind
read.
Of fiction based on nonfiction.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's what science, that's what science fiction is. You have to start with
the science.
You have to start with the science. You have to start with the facts and extrapolate from there. So I find a lot of inspiration just in, Scientific American, or in, current events and discussions of, armoring Humvees for troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, that sort of thing is a seed upon which I will run out of words. Yeah, the metaphor generator shut down there for a moment.
So, you said that you get lots and lots of email. So what are some of the more memorable things that people have written to you?
Let's see. Memorable email. I've gotten a little bit of hate mail where, one person, I can't even remember. I shouldn't list on the air the names that he called me. He was just mad. He was mad about something I blogged about, and I completely forgot. I don't even remember what the argument was, but
damn Google!
Yeah, he just took it really personally, and really he wanted. I think he said he wanted to punch me in the nose. If he ever saw me, he was going to punch me right in the nose. He's not here.
Good thing too, or we'd have a really hard time conducting an interview.
That would make it difficult. That would make it difficult.
But action packed.
Well, yeah, it would just be. It would be like one of those radio dramas with the
sound effects.
And, yeah, live sound effects and screaming. I get a lot of praise from people who say, I love the comic. I can't believe you've done it every day for 6 years. Thank you so much. And there are people who tell me, I have emotional problems. I have bad days. And you are there to pick me up. And that, it's a very personal thing for me. I read that, and I have a spiritual connection with these people, and that makes it worthwhile. Memorable emails. I don't remember all of them individually, because there are a lot. Topically, though, one of the topics that comes up a lot in email is, I just discovered your comic, and I read the whole archives in 3 days. And then they usually follow that up with either, I am going to go to bed now, or I almost lost my job. one of those two things. And I email them back. Oh, and there's a third thing that they often say, and that is, how do I go back now to just reading one per day?
Uh-huh, true.
So I feel like the old dope peddler. Hey, the first one's free, kid.
speaking of dealing your dope, have you been approached by any people wanting to publish your books? Because you mentioned earlier how you published them yourself and sold them through your site. Have you gotten, if you will, bigwigs trying to go and get you in?
I've had two offers for publication, and what I do is I tell them, listen, I'm making a solid living right now publishing the books myself. If you have a, you know, if you can do an advance on royalties deal and commit to, you know, X amount of dollars per year for 2 years for four books, then we'll do it. And if you can't, I'll keep selling them myself. And what's happened to date is they've said, oh, wow, you're making that much money? Okay, well,
let's move along.
Yeah, we'll move along and, you know, look for somebody perhaps a little hungrier.
All right. Well, we've got a bunch of interviews lined up here, but I want to go and ask you one more thing if I can, and that is, besides your comic, which takes up so much of your time and has so many people that just love it, what other projects are you working on, maybe in the future or currently?
Boy, right now I'm 100% focused on the comic and on ways to exploit the comic for money. We've talked about doing, you know, role-playing game.
Swimsuit calendar?
I haven't decided on... calendars... I've
I
looked
hear
at calendars
aliens
and
pose nude, I'm just saying.
Calendars are a low-margin item. Going into, you know, a little bit of T-shirt business, I'm, you know, we're looking at that. But mostly right now I'm all about taking the current comic, producing the comic, and finding ways to exploit that for money.
Oh, wonderful.
Down the road I may do spin-offs, I may, you know, tackle other creative projects, might write a novel, but for right now, just schlockmercenary.com. What you see there is pretty much what you get from me.
All right. Well, okay, I'd like to give you the last word, so if there's anything you'd like to plug or say before we go, the mic is yours.
Thanks. Boy, I hate questions like this because they always leave me stymied. Yeah. gosh, I think I've said just about everything that needs to be said. Thank you very much for having me on your show, and good luck with the rest of the interviews.
All right. I hope that your fans continue to be as happy with your comic as we were interviewing you. And we'll see you soon.
Well, this is your second episode here on the show, and what do you think, how do you feel differently now compared to when you were on the first show?
I'm a lot more comfortable talking, making comments, and I hopefully will get more comfortable to the point where I might actually say something witty or funny, but...
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. You're doing a great job. But, hopefully next time we'll have something more enjoyable for you to watch. So
yeah.
Far you've seen Princess Nine. You guys like that pretty well.
Yeah,
and then we watched,
I really like
that. Last Exile, which there's a reason why it's the last one. and so next time I believe we're going to be reviewing something rather classic. Don't want to drop any names right now because I could get it wrong because I'm not 100% remembering what it is. But it is a very famous name in anime. But you'll have to tune in next time to find out, because actually the interesting thing is it's going to be our first episode of Season 9. Yes, Episode 104, the current episode, is the last episode of Season 8 of ASO Radio. So we're going to be going into a brand new season starting with the next episode, and so I'd like to take this opportunity to announce a little contest that we're going to be having, which is to design the theme song for Season 9 of ASO Radio. Just go ahead and use the fan mail submission form to go ahead and let me know if you have a track that you would like us to use for our opening. I would say probably 30 to 45 seconds in length, and you can submit it in MP3 or Ogg Vorbis format, and we will be more than glad to give it a listen. So if you think you have mad skills for laying down a podcast theme, go ahead and, like I said, use the fan mail submission form. Let us know, and we'll enter you in our contest. A couple of weeks will go by, and then we'll announce the winner, and it will become the theme for Season 9 and possibly even Season 10 of ASO Radio. But I'm always looking towards the future, so let's get back out of the clouds, put our feet on the ground, and wrap up the present. So for Episode 104, 104 episodes now, of ASO Radio, this is NZ17
and JD10T
signing out.
ASO Radio is copyright of NC17 Productions. ASO Radio is licensed to the general public under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike license. Additional licenses available. For more information, visit us online at www.nz17.com.